Welcome to the Pearl of Great Price podcast. Thanks for joining us today. 13th of September, and in this day in Christian history, we go back to the year 1874. We travel to Russia, where today the writer Fyodor Dostoevsky finished the first draft for his final novel, The Brothers Karamazov. Originally called The Life of a Great Sinner, the text was altered by a personal tragedy. As in May 1878, Dostoevsky's three-year-old son, Alyosha, died of epilepsy, a condition inherited from his father. The book would ultimately be published as The Brothers Karamazov, as a serial in the Russian Messenger from January 1879 to November 1880. And Dostoevsky died less than 4 months after its publication. The novelist's grief at the loss of his son is apparent throughout the book. And Dostoevsky names the hero in the novel, Alyosha, as well as imbuing him with qualities that he sought and most admired. And the death of his son had brought Dostoevsky to the Optina monastery later that year. And there he had found inspiration for several aspects of The Brothers Karamazov. Though at the time, he'd intended to write a novel about childhood instead. Part of the biographical section of Alyosha's superior Zosima's life are based on the life of the elder Leonid, the abbot of the monastery, to which Alyosha Karamazov belongs to. Dostoevsky found a text at the Optina monastery and copied it almost word for word. Alyosha Karamazov is the youngest of the Karamazov brothers, being 19 years old at the start of the novel. The preface and the opening chapter proclaim him as the hero. And Dostoevsky intended to write a sequel which would detail the rest of Alyosha's life, but his death meant that this did not happen. And at the outset of the story, Alyosha is a novice in the local monastery, and in this way his beliefs act as a counterbalance to his brother Ivan's atheism. He is sent out into the world by his elder, the superior at the monastery, and subsequently became embroiled in the sordid details of his family's life. He becomes involved with and later engaged to a young girl named Liza, who sinks into depression and self-hatred. And the character Alyosha has been compared to another character of Dostoevsky, Prince Myshkin, the protagonist in his novel The Idiot, as they are both almost Jesus-like characters, who are nevertheless unable to prevent the suffering of those around them. It may be that Alyosha Karamazov is a more robust, positive hero than Prince Myshkin, as he relies on forgiveness, kindness, and natural justice, rather than attempting to change the social order. The Brothers Karamazov tells of a fictional murder committed by the eldest brother, Dmitri, who regularly indulges in nights of champagne drinking and whatever entertainment and stimulation money can buy. His father, Fyodor Pavlovich, is a 55-year-old sponger and buffoon. He has three sons from two marriages, and he takes no interest in any of them, who are, as a result, raised apart from each other and their father. And the relationships between Fyodor and his adult sons drives much of the plot in the novel. Dmitri, the oldest, is soon in need of his inheritance, which he believes his father is withholding. Engaged to be married, he breaks that off after falling in love with Grushenka. This makes his father very angry, and their relationship escalates to violence as he and his father begin fighting over his inheritance and Grushenka. While he maintains a relationship with Ivan, he is closest to the younger brother, Aloysia, referring to him as his cherub. The fifth and middle chapter of the Brothers Karamazov is called The Grand Inquisitor, and is perhaps the most famous chapter of the novel. Here the rationalist and nihilistic ideology that permeated Russia at a time of great change is defended and espoused by Ivan while meeting his younger brother Aloysia at a restaurant. Ivan has already proclaimed that he rejects the world that God has created because it's built on a foundation of suffering. And in The Grand Inquisitor, Ivan famously narrates to Aloysia his imagined poem, which describes an encounter between a leader from the Spanish Inquisition and Jesus, who has made his return to earth. The opposition between reason and faith is thus dramatized and symbolized in a forceful monologue of the Grand Inquisitor, who, having ordered the arrest of Jesus, visits him one night in prison. "Why have you come now to hinder us? For you have come to hinder us, and you know that. We are not working with you, but with him, Satan. We took from him what you rejected with scorn, the last gift that he offered you, showing you all the kingdoms of the earth. We took from him Rome and the sword of Caesar, and we proclaimed ourselves sole rulers of the earth. We shall triumph and shall be Caesar's, and then we shall plan the universal happiness of man." The Grand Inquisitor accuses Jesus of having inflicted on humankind the burden of free will. And at the end of the Grand Inquisitor's lengthy and eloquent arguments, Jesus silently steps forward and kisses the old man on the lips. The Inquisitor, stunned and moved, tells him that he must never come there again and lets him out. Aloysia, after hearing the poem and the story, goes to Ivan and kisses him softly on the lips. Ivan shouts with delight, and the brothers part with mutual affection and respect. The Grand Inquisitor is arguably one of the best known passages in modern literature due to its ideas about human nature, freedom, power, authority, and religion, as well for its fundamental ambiguity. A reference to the poem can be found in the English novelist Aldous Huxley's Brave New World Revisited. And the Nobel Prize winning author Hermann Hesse described Dostoevsky as not a poet, but a prophet. Pope Benedict XVI cited the book in his 2007 encyclical on hope, Spe Salve. See the podcast of August the 10th. "God is justice and creates justice," the Pope wrote. "This is our consolation and our hope. And in his justice there is also grace. This we know by turning our gaze to the crucified and risen Christ. Both these things, justice and grace, must be seen in their correct inner relationship. Grace does not cancel out justice. It does not make wrong into right. It is not a sponge which wipes everything away, so that whatever someone has done on earth ends up of being equal value." Dostoevsky, for example, was right to protest against this kind of heaven and this kind of grace in his novel The Brothers Karamazov. Evildoers in the end do not sit at the table at the eternal banquet beside their victims without distinction, as though nothing had happened. Dostoevsky was a devout Orthodox Christian, and the mystery of suffering permeates the novel. Russia is experiencing record levels of alcoholism, But Dostoevsky is clear that no one is outside of salvation. The Orthodox Church is still very powerful, but atheism is starting to become more influential in Russia. It is a chaotic and tumultuous period, and Russia is trying to industrialise to catch up with the West. And there is a fear of democracy and a shift away from feudalism that is very destabilising. And nihilism is starting to rise. The freedom of the serfs leads to more reform in the years when he was writing Karamazov. The decadence and the orgies of the upper classes is fading away, as Dostoevsky is writing. And the Brothers Karamazov has had a deep influence on many public figures over the years, for widely varying reasons. Soviet leader Joseph Stalin treasured his copy of the Brothers Karamazov, and it reveals extensive highlights and notes in the margins that he made whilst reading and rereading the work. These have been studied and analysed by multiple researchers. Another ruthless Russian leader, Vladimir Putin, has described the Brothers Karamazov as one of his favourite books. But the impact of the novel was much wider than Russia, and admirers included scientists such as Albert Einstein, philosophers Ludwig Wittgenstein and Martin Heidegger. For Einstein, it was the supreme summit of all literature. Wittgenstein is said to have read the Brothers Karamazov so often that he knew whole passages of it by heart. And a copy of the novel was one of the few possessions Wittgenstein brought with him to the front during World War I. Sigmund Freud called it the most magnificent novel ever written and was fascinated with what he saw as its Oedipal themes. Franz Kafka felt indebted to Dostoevsky and the Brothers Karamazov for its influence on his own work. But perhaps most notable was the novel's influence on Friedrich Nietzsche. His Ivan has a devastating intellect and is constantly attacking Aloysia. Although Aloysia constantly loses the arguments, he lives a much more compelling life than Ivan does, who loves him. And Ivan, in a sense, echoes Nietzsche's Übermensch, the Superman, who is at the peak of rationality. And when Nietzsche laments that we have killed God, see the podcast of August the 26th, he is not triumphal, because he goes on to say that there is not enough water in the world to wipe away the blood off our hands. So Dostoevsky in many ways mirrors Nietzsche, but is more hopeful rather than nihilistic. Although Nietzsche tries to bypass nihilism by calling for us to create our own values, this appears to be psychologically impossible. James Joyce, see the podcast of August the 13th, wrote, "The Brothers Karamazov made a deep impression on me. He created some unforgettable scenes. Madness, you may call it, but therein may be the secret of his genius. I prefer the word exaltation. Exaltation which can merge into madness, perhaps. In fact, all great men have had that vein in them. It is the source of their greatness. The reasonable man achieves nothing." That's all from the Pearl of Great Price today. Thanks for listening. Join us tomorrow if you can, as we look at the Benedictine monk, Dom Pierre Perignon, whose name became the watchword of quality champagne. To make our archive easier to access, we've started to group our podcasts into themes. So if you visit www.pogp.net, the first group called Theologians is going up from Augustine to Lubach. If you'd like to give any feedback, you can email us on pogppod@gmail.com. And if you have time, please subscribe and share the podcast with friends. And have a lovely day wherever you are. And thanks for listening.